meeting will be called to order. Okay, as far as roll call, Joanne Ralph is, and she's already resigned, I assume, so that's why she's not here. Sandra Olivas.
Here.
Aaron Cox.
He's ex.
And Juan Figueroa.
Hello.
This is Jim Smith. Are you coming to the Historical Preservation Commission meeting?
Oh, my God, Jim. You know what? I forgot. You know, I was planning on doing it, but I'm just getting over bronchitis right now.
Okay.
And I didn't go back to the doctor again, my third time to the doctor. I would email me, okay. Said I was going to be there.
Not a problem.
And I totally forgot.
The chair asked me to give you a call, so I said I would.
Well, thank you very much. And tell him I'm sorry, but
Yes, no, speak.
Rest your voice.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's been sick. He missed our historical segment the other day. So. Okay, Juan Figueroa. I've not met him. He was
here at one meeting.
He was our last meeting.
Yeah. He, I know, has a work conflict. He regularly attends the council meetings and apologized to me at the last council meeting, actually the last Monday night, for not being able to attend the meetings.
Okay.
So I do know that he's interested in the subject, but just has a tough time getting out of work.
So I guess that, well... He'll continue on, I assume.
Well, we can look at the bylaws. I do believe that there's something in the bylaws that talks about that, and maybe if he can't make the commitment, then, you know, I can talk to him about possibly stepping down from the commission.
Okay, Jim Smith.
There is something about missing three meetings.
Yes, right. Three consecutive unexcused meetings.
Right, then the chairman is supposed to make a contact. I'm
okay.
Here.
Jim Smith, okay. Dan Malmuth.
I don't think he's
not here with us anymore. And Dee Godinez.
Here.
Susie Earp is out. And we have Jimmy Hill.
Yes.
Present. Right.
Yay. And actually, we could do, okay, so we, let's see what we can do. Okay, probably introduce for all of us, you know, maybe say briefly who we are for Jimmy's sake. And my name is Nick Cataldo. I've been on the commission for 7 years. That's when I started. I've been chairman for the last 3 years. And involved with the San Bernardino Historical Society. Retired special ed teacher. And, you can go.
Oh, my turn. Dee Drew X. Godinez. I'm a newbie here. I'm still learning the ropes. I find it very interesting. I'm a transplant actually from upstate New York. I've been out here about 9 years. I think that there's a lot of potential in this city, and I'm really interested in its revitalization. And yes, it has a huge amount of historic value that we do need to preserve. And I'm also very active in my own little neck of the woods in my community.
Sandra Owen Olivas, I'm on the board at the Historical and Pioneer Society with Nick and Alan, who's not here. I work for the patrons of the Roosevelt Bowl, so I do their markets, and presently I'm doing the Great Race event. I'm really into historic preservation. My house was built in the late 1800s, so this is my love, is the, yeah. History. I'm not from San Bernardino. I've lived here 17, 18 years now, and I've been on the commission for 3.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, I'm Jimmy Hill. Born and raised here in San Bernardino. I left here when I went to college. I went to Cal State Fullerton and stayed in the dorms there, but then came back. And so, I went to elementary school at Mount Vernon, went to Sturgis Junior High, San Bernardino High School, San Bernardino Valley College, transferred to Fullerton, and then came back to Cal State San Bernardino for my graduate work. I've worked in Riverside community Started off with the high school in Riverside as a counselor there, worked there many years, and then I got a full-time position with Riverside Community College District and worked at Norco College there as a counselor and instructor for many years. I retired, but I'm still doing some adjunct work with them periodically. I'm looking forward to being on the commission. I really didn't know what I wanted to do as far as volunteer work, but when I was approached by my councilman in regards to this, I thought it was a good opportunity for me. I live on 25th Street, which is designated as a historical block, so my interest was built from there when I first moved in that home. The older residents of that area have started the process of getting the historical site established with the two block area there. So I was very grateful that I at least got in on that particular part of it. And then from there, it kind of stemmed my interest in many other areas historically. Having seen some of the historical buildings that are no longer here, and hoping that we can preserve the ones that we do have left. And it's quite interesting as I received some information from Mark there in regards to how things are designated as historical. So my interest is growing, and I hope I can be of value to the committee.
Great to have you with us.
Got a great day out.
I appreciate that. I do. I'm very fortunate. Thank you.
Now, is it true that he replaced Alan Malheur?
Daniel, correct.
Or Dan?
Oh, that's correct, yes.
I just didn't know for sure.
Yeah. So,
thank you very much. My name is Jim Smith. I'm like Nick. I've been on the commission for 7 years. We've had some very good leadership over the years, including Susie Earp, who couldn't be here tonight because she's under the weather. And, of course, in fact, our former councilman, Jim Mulvihiller was our chairman before he became councilman, and then, of course, Nick. And, so we've had some really good experience. I served actually 1 year as chairman, and I'm very involved with, I'm involved with the Historical Society. I go to all their meetings. I'm not on their board, but Nick and I have known each other for a long time. My passion is the history of San Bernardino and preserving it. And I won't take too much longer, but I just recently attended an Historical Preservation Commission meeting in the city of Highland, and it was interesting what they do as compared to us. They don't do a lot, but they're there to make sure they keep their ears and eye out to make sure that history is preserved in the city of Highland, especially in the historic district, and that's really our charge right here. Mm-hmm. I certainly want to thank Nick for being our leader. You do a great job. Oh. That's all.
Thank
you,
Sam. I appreciate it. Okay.
And then I also would like to point out Stephanie Sanchez is here this evening. Stephanie works in the Community Development Department, and she will be sitting in because Lisa will actually be on vacation for our next meeting. So,
thank you. Yeah.
And Stephanie is the, if any of you have been to the Planning Commission meeting, Stephanie is the secretary for the Planning Commission meetings.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay, the next item, public comments from the public. And we have a guest. Can you introduce yourself?
How's everybody going?
Great.
Well.
And we have about 5 minutes? Or
5 minutes?
Yeah.
My name is Hunter Sagan. I'm not from San Bernardino, but I live in San Bernardino, and I do believe in the past, which is history, and I believe that I want to do good with it. I'm here by the way and inspiration. I just want to know what I'm called to do. I guess I'm called to be a leader. It's time for me to be a leader. Someone to say, like, is this the way? Sure, it'll be the way for everybody, I guess, but it's not by any means, by the powers that be. I just want good for the city of San Bernardino, I want good for the county of San Bernardino, I want good for the state, I want good for this nation. Also, I want good for this world. I'm the real deal, I live here, I've been about 5 years. After a while, I'll be working my way back to Newport Beach. Is there enough room here for me?
Sir.
There you go. I'm the real deal. I ain't no fake.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you all know that you don't usually hold meetings like this all the time. Imagine if we did this weekly, how great it would be, right? Or is this monthly?
We
like
basically hold this every other month.
Ah.
Every other month. Yep.
I could do it monthly if I had to do it.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, at this point, it's, has everybody reviewed the minutes from 2 months ago? Okay. Jim Smith made a motion to approve the minutes.
I second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, announcements, reports by the commissioners pertaining to historic preservation. We'll start with Keith.
Okay, as I was talking out at the table but prior to our meeting, I am the chair for the T-Bones Alliance, which is taking back our neighborhood streets in my community. We are working with students, also Generation Now. We had a mural painted by student artists on our 19th Street wall. It's an empty lot that we're beautifying. Part of what's going on in our community is we have the Alliance, and then we have another coalition of our local businessmen. And one of those business entities, an insurance company on North Waterman, they're going to be having a mural painted on, I believe it's a State Farm Insurance, or Farmers Insurance. I have a picture of the actual building. The students are going to be painting a mural on that building, and it looks like he's going the way of historic landmarks in San Bernardino for that mural. And I just wanted to find out if anybody had any ideas that they would want possibly included on that mural
What do they have? Do they have ideas?
I can pass this around. This is just a draft of what they're planning on doing, and behind it is a picture of the blank canvas they're going to be working on. You can write on that if you go ahead and write on it.
This is San Bernardino Generation Now.
It's the T-Bones Alliance. It's Generation Now. It's kind of like and it's our business coalition as well.
Okay.
So it's kind of collective efforts on the part of the community.
That's great. What area does that cover?
We are between, I want to say, Baseline and Highland and, say, Arrowhead and Waterman in that little area there. I think they put this on the wrong map. We're trying to figure out what perspective they're
really
looking from. But
this is awesome. And then the trains here. No,
I'm not quite sure. I think that's just like a little cityscape. So if you want to either write in your ideas or draw a picture of your
ideas.
Can
I email you?
Because
I think the train idea you guys had out there was
the
perfect.
The locomotive number.
Yeah.
You can stick it somewhere in there. Yeah,
this is awesome. It looks like it's going to be pretty.
And we have a meeting. If you want to email me, our next Alliance meeting is on Friday. So Friday morning, if you want to get to me before then I can throw it out there.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome. Good job.
And that's it for me.
Hey, Sandra.
I have nothing to report.
Okay. Well, Jimmy, you're something to
report. Not yet.
I just want to touch on a couple of things. A very important date's coming up on June 14th. As you may or may not be aware, you should be, that's Flag Day in America. And the Elks Lodge has an outstanding program scheduled at the Elks Lodge, and I'd like to invite everyone there. It's at 7:30 on the 14th, which is actually a Sunday. And we'll be having representatives from cadets from the training facility at Norton Air Force Base will be carrying in the flags. Gary Sains, who's the city attorney, will be welcoming everybody from the city. The Elks Lodge will be telling about the history of the American flag. It just so happens that Flag Day Jimmy, you probably know this, in California, it's the same day, June 14th. And so you not only hear a history of the American flag, but you also hear a history of the California state flag. We have a wonderful musical group called the Trumpeters, and they'll play America the Beautiful and God Bless America. And then probably the most outstanding part is that the Elks, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the Elks Lodge give more scholarships out than any other organization aside from the United States government. And so we have one of the scholarship winners that will be giving a talk on why they're proud to be an American. And it'll bring tears to your eyes. We're gonna have about 100 people at the Elks Lodge, you know, right by Paris Hill Park. I'm sure all of you know where that is. And take the time to come out. I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
What time is it?
7:30. 7:30 on June 14th.
Would that be a.m. or p.m.?
P.m.
Okay.
If you want to, you can come up and have a delicious chicken dinner before, you know. It's about to. That's when the actual ceremony occurs.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, but let me just quickly, just a reminder that June 27th is a Great American Race in San Bernardino, and talk about historic preservation. This is preserving the history and heritage of our city, and also a very positive step into the future of San Bernardino. As we, we work towards getting out of bankruptcy and becoming solvent, it's a very positive event. And kudos to Mark Persico and all the work you've done.
You got to give it to Mickey. Mickey's really the one who's.
I think Mark with third Thursdays, Sandra Olivas and all the work she's done, Steve Porteous, which you know, there's a lot of people are involved with this, and this Great American Race just so happens serendipity is coming through here. But also, we're getting local cars. It's going to be over 1,000 cars. I just hope that there's enough. The Sun newspaper has done a great job with articles. Michael Mellon's written a lot of articles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has. She's done a really good job.
Facebook has done a very good job. I don't see enough. Personally, I don't see enough in the city as far as, I don't know if people don't do that, if there's enough advertising around. I hope, hopefully there will be.
Well, we now have a marketing. She's not marketing. Trying to remember her official name.
Director of Communications.
Director of Communications, yes.
Oh, okay. Right.
Monica Lagos was recently hired, and she works out of the city manager's office.
Oh, okay.
So prior to that, it had been a couple of years since we had a PR person. So she has been initially working on the bankruptcy.
Right.
Helping with all of the messaging and getting the word out to employees and the community on what's happening. But now that the plan of adjustment has been submitted, Monica is now starting to move on to a lot of other things.
Okay.
She actually coincidentally started out as a volunteer in the community development department and helped us with a lot of the initial marketing for the Third Thursday event.
Oh, great.
So.
And just quickly, our next historical society meeting is somewhat of the historic preservation. Our speaker is his name is Louis Fuerte. I don't know if anybody knows who Louis Fuerte is. If you heard of California's Gold, the TV show. He was a cameraman for Hugh House. So he's gonna be our speaker. He's gonna talk about his career as a cameraman for different production companies, but mainly working with Hugh House. And I think of Hill Hauser, who was not from California, from Tennessee, and he did a lot for preserving the what's good about California. So I kind of associate that with historic preservation.
When is that, Nick?
Oh, it's going to be July 2nd. And Louis lives in Rialto. He's a local boy, and very nice guy. And he worked with Hill Hauser for 12 years, and the show is legendary. I was on the show a couple times years ago, and not being familiar with TV production, I expect to see like ABC, all these camera trucks, and all try that KBCR, small potatoes. But Louis was a cameraman. He had carried his big honking camera on his back, and he would walk around like this. Louis, come here. And he's good. Okay, okay, we'll go on to old business. Discussion on a partnership with local schools, and it was decided at the last meeting to wait until August to address that. I was not here, that's what I got from that. Certified local governments, which former Commissioner Malmuth brought up, also wait until August. E-grants by Malmuth, wait until August. Okay, potential formation of subcommittees. That's something we've talked about before, by having subcommittees. And that's something you can bring up. Has anybody, I'm not sure if anything was discussed at the last meeting or something that needs, should be as far as what subcommittees we should have. Anybody have a suggestion what kind of we should have for subcommittees?
What would be the purpose of the subcommittee?
You know, I guess just, have like two or three members focus on certain things that we need to work on. Like the Mills Act, that's going to be our next, it's going to be something we'll talk about soon. That's coming up soon. Really, we can all work on that. But so,
end of this month.
Yeah. End of July.
June.
Oh, end of June is the deadline. Oh, so it is.
It is upon you.
Well, it's really soon. You're right. It is sooner. Okay, yes.
That was one of the committees, I think, the subcommittees that's really important is the Mills Act.
Yeah,
subcommittee.
That's what I was saying. That'd be one. But sounds like it's too late now.
Because then it's constantly being worked on year round.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think that's a really important committee to have. And then which would be nice because then we could work on it on our off months when we're not here. So
you're
I think that's an important committee. And then I had one other one.
Okay.
was a subcommittee to do the research of, so we have a complete list of all the old buildings, like the Harris Building, the Heritage Building, and all those, to have all a complete list of those buildings so that we, so we can keep an eye out on those buildings.
The list may mark them down.
Yeah, the Garner Building, so we can keep an eye out on those buildings.
Maybe
the existing buildings.
Yeah, the existing buildings.
Maybe, we talked about in the past about historic districts, too.
Because we've talked plaques, we've talked all these things before, and so I think if we have somebody watching these buildings, then they're watching the CBG funds that we could apply for to put plaques, or I'm not big on plaques, I'm more like granite because they can't be stolen, but something like that, then we could get the funding to do these things through CBG funds. Okay? That was my thoughts. Thank you.
Okay. Any other suggestions for...
Concerning the Mills Act, and I agree with Sandra, that's a very important part. I know that Aaron Cox isn't here tonight. He's one of our commissioners. And unfortunately, one of the provisions of the Mills Act was the Donaldson Report that was completed in 1999. So it would certainly be
91, 92.
A long time ago. I mean, this is like 35 years ago. So I think that's something that, as a first priority, I think certainly at our next meeting, we need to come up with some definitive plan about how we go forward. This year is pretty much gone, all due respect. I mean, this is not uncommon that we don't have applications, but Mr. Cox made an application last year, and because his property wasn't on the Donaldson Report, it was not, with our bylaws, it was turned down. Okay, so I think basically an important situation is that we need to loosen that up as far as that. And we frankly have a database, of all the buildings that are, that are built. And this just kind of dovetails possibly what Sandra said about the historical build, not only those but also the houses. And we need to identify from, we're in a different age. We're not like the Donaldson Report was great, a lot of work went into it, but back in the early 90s or 80s or whenever, I mean, I remember when weren't computers. I mean, now we have databases that we need to take advantage of. And I understand that, to be very honest about it, this city has a lot of challenges. And I really empathize with Mark and Lisa for all the work. I mean, they do a tremendous job. These minutes that come out and the notice of meetings is done very professionally. And they can do that, you know, because they have the computers. They can offset it. That's the format we have. So I think that really is something they probably need. So I think that would be an excellent subcommittee.
Okay, what would you call that? Subcommittee to?
Yeah, to analyze the Bills Act and come back with recommendations to the group about how we can, like, for example, the Donaldson report is kind of, like, all due respect, it's like an elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Because it's so outdated.
Yeah.
And it's something that shouldn't really be used. But you just can't talk about it. You actually have to have something. You know, we're a governmental agency, so we actually have to come back and make that proposal to the county commission.
Oh, to have a different list, another criteria.
Well, another strategy as far as identifying people, because the Mills Act shouldn't go away.
Yeah.
But we should tweak how people are really qualified for the Mills Act for that funding. And, right. And I think we can do that.
So how would you word that?
How would you
word that for? Analyze the Mills Act or analyze the Donaldson report.
Can I make a suggestion?
Go ahead, Mark. That's your expertise.
Well, I don't know about that, but I have a suggestion anyways. You know, maybe if the commission, it seems like there was a consensus to have a Mills Act committee, and I don't know if the purpose needs to be more defined than that. If you want to have chair three members appointed to the Mills Act committee, then the committee could meet. Lisa and I could figure out a time to meet with the Mills Act committee and go through, you know, how we do more marketing and outreach so we get more applications.
Yeah.
So, I think that would be the first issue.
I think so.
And then the second issue would be the broader issue of the state requirements for how you can qualify under the Mills Act, because a lot of the Mills Act is outside of the city's control. It's state legislation. And there are, you know, we all admit that the Donaldson report is extremely outdated, but it's very complicated. Seems like we talk about this every month as to how we do an update, what it would cost, how we go about that process. So maybe having a 2 or 3 member committee to really dive into the issues would be worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's, you have the item on the agenda this evening. If you wanted to, you know, create that subcommittee as, again, just the Mills Act subcommittee and have 2 or 3 people appointed to it, you could do that under the agenda that you've got tonight.
Right. Any other suggestions?
Okay. A question. I heard that someone mentioned that there was a timeline attached to the Mills Act. What does that mean by either meeting it or not meeting it?
Well, they have to apply prior to, it has to be okay by Lisa knows.
Your house has to fall on the Donaldson report. It has to be 50 years or older and fall on the Donaldson report. So if both of those are met, the application is filled out by the resident by a certain deadline. The deadline is the end of June. The applications are brought forth to the commission. They are voted on. Windshield surveys are taken. Building inspectors go and take pictures of the property, and if this commission approves them, they move on to the mayor and common council. They're approved, and their application and contract is recorded at the county, and then that gives a discount on the property taxes. In a small nutshell.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, very good. Well said.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, Chair, before you move on, do you actually want to create that committee? And
should we do, is that for Okay, we'll do it. So I guess for old, so old business, I guess so. I think it probably would be a very important, it'd be very good to have certainly a subcommittee for the Mills Act. And also, Sandra mentioned about the list of old buildings, which
we have
right here.
We do.
Yeah, I asked Lisa gave us a proper inventory of the...
Well, this is a list nobody really knows the origin of it. People thought that...
They're looking at two different lists.
Alan Boone had done it.
Right.
Yeah, what we gave you...
That's my list. I made that
list. Oh, you made that list. Okay. This list is city-owned property, and this is an agenda item under new business.
But get back to this list, Cabos. This
one
list.
About that.
Okay, I brought this in the meeting before last. I wrote a couple articles for the Sun on the historic downtown, about buildings that should be saved. And I gave a little historical background of each one. So this is certainly a list. I've mentioned about the 1820 buildings. We can make that list. Find more.
This could be a start.
It could be a start, because there are other historic buildings that were not mentioned. But that's pretty kind of, this list here is a property inventory. At least, maybe you can explain.
When we get to that item, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's under new business.
Okay, all right. All right, so as far as subcommittee, would anyone like to make a proposal for forming a Mills Act subcommittee? Or do we need... the subcommittee, and then we decide who's going to be out of subcommittee.
Yeah. Do you need a motion to create that subcommittee? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, I think that's correct.
I make a motion that the Historical Preservation Commission form a subcommittee to analyze on the Mills Act.
Yep.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So at this point, should we decide on who is on the subcommittee? So subcommittee, we can, as far as how many we want to have. Right now, we have five commissioners.
We have a subcommittee.
Yeah. Well, you can have, you could have more, but I think three would probably
be the most
effective.
Can I make a suggestion on that?
Sure.
Instead of appointing people, that maybe people should, the people that want to be on that subcommittee, because I think it would be more effective if you actually want to be on that subcommittee, if that's your interest.
Right. Yeah.
So,
sure.
And so what I'm asking is that maybe we put this in 2 months.
In 2 months, okay.
That way people are aware that the subcommittee
right.
has now been formed.
Three or four people there.
Yeah, and then the people put their names forward to be on the subcommittee.
That sounds good.
Okay.
I think
that's
a good idea.
May I... to move things along,
mm-hmm.
instead of waiting till October,
mm-hmm.
I can send an email to the commission as a whole saying these are the subcommittees that have been formed. Need three members. Please email me. And then that way,
we have something. Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
If you agree.
And that suggestion was initially mentioned about a list of old buildings in San Bernardino. And is that, again, there are a lot of buildings, so we should be thinking it's a viable thing for having a subcommittee for that.
But many of these, if I may, Chair,
sure.
These buildings are all on the Donaldson Report.
Yeah,
so,
they are. They should all be.
I guess the question from a staff standpoint is what would we be staffing the committee for and what would the committee be doing?
Yeah.
My thought process is not everybody has a copy of the Donaldson Report. That's my thought process. And maybe this committee would bring forward what the subcommittee felt were the most important buildings within the city as a start. Or maybe we just now this isn't even viable, because if the Mills Act subcommittee is looking at, then there's going to be other buildings that can fall within that itself.
Right.
So I'm saying that maybe maybe taking the listing of the buildings off, but maybe keeping in doing the research on the CBG funds that we could possibly apply for next year. Hmm. Or maybe we can just table the whole thing.
Would there be an overlap with the buildings into the Mills Act?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, it could be, as you mentioned, that maybe it could be something, a component to it, also looking at, you know, mm-hmm. within the Mills Act, buildings.
And these are buildings you want to preserve?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And to be identified in order to have some recognition on the building
mm-hmm.
itself.
Through CBG funds.
Yeah. Certainly a concern is these 300 properties that supposedly the city needs to sell. And now this list,
that's true.
Is this including, is this?
I believe this list targets the downtown area.
Okay. So are these, I guess, I would think, are the buildings, the sites, or not sites, sites is something, the buildings that are targeted for possible demolition? I mean, if they're saved, we don't know.
Nothing is targeted for demolition.
So nothing
with historical significance is targeted for demolition.
Nothing.
Just because it's old.
Sure.
Doesn't mean it's historically significant.
No, I know.
Exactly.
So there is nothing with historical significance that is set aside or slated for demo.
Okay, well, that's good.
With the chairman, I think we need to be aware of what situation the city is in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're winding down the RDA, all these historical buildings that RDA bought, many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess I think it's more from a timing standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great idea, but I think we need to find out what the political process with the city as far as the winding down of RDA, so we'll have a better hold on exactly where we're. And then once that's done, then I think it'll clear the playing field to move forward. So I think it would be appropriate to simply not, we don't want to table this, but just continue it until our next meeting.
Okay.
That was so
we just continue it next time.
So continue till August?
Until our next meeting.
Yeah, I think that sounds good to me. So right at this point, basically we'll have one subcommittee.
Yes. Right, I have a motion for one subcommittee.
Mm-hmm.
No vote has been taken. But
okay.
Now you want to continue this till August. So there's two separate requests.
Okay, one is the Mills Act subcommittee.
The Mills Act has been accepted for that to be a subcommittee.
Yeah.
Okay, so now this is a potent. You want subcommittees on the agenda for August as well?
Or do we want to wait until even a later date than that? I don't know how soon, you know. I don't know. I know you're saying, but right now it's, the city's in a flux to a situation where I think it's.
We're tired with what's going on with the bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it's, I don't know how you say, talk about later, a few months from now. I don't know. What does that mean?
What if it's a compromise? Why don't we continue with it until October?
Okay.
And then
okay,
that
means
we'll
give us some time.
Better knowledge. What we're doing, Mark, is as far as historical buildings, because of the RDA wind down and everything,
right.
There's so much happening, as you know, with the bankruptcy, to simply continue that item until the October meeting.
Okay.
A portion of that
and
item.
Right.
There's
not the Mills Act.
Is there a second to that?
Right.
Okay, so you're making a motion.
I'm making a motion.
Okay, then I'd like to second.
I'll second.
Okay, and all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, I'll get opposed.
Question on CBG funds. I'm not sure what that is.
The city gets, I'll say a little bit and then whatever I miss you can add. The city gets through the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development annually community development block grants, CDBG. And the community development block grant program is targeted to the elimination of blight, as well as the federal government has three major goals. One is elimination of blight. Second one is job creation and job training. And the third one is safe and sanitary housing, kind of goes along with the elimination of blight. The city, through Brandon Mims, who is the city's deputy housing director, he oversees that program. And we have the community, each department can make requests to use the money. We've used the money, a small portion of it, for inputting all of the information from the Mills Act, or from the Donaldson report, into the one that we had spoken about last week, into our permitting system. So we now have, when people come in, we now know that this property is on the Donaldson report, or is on the Donaldson report, so they can come back and they can talk to Aaron or one of the other planners to find out what are the limitations for modifications or demolition of that building. So that's in a nutshell and what CDBG is. Mickey Valdivia, through Parks and Recreation, has done a number of park improvement programs. The Public Works Department does ADA ramps, the Americans with Disability Access ramps. They install ADA ramps. So there's a number of programs that the city carries out annually. And sometimes if they meet the federal guidelines, then they're eligible. Brandon does that review, and then annually the council approves, in addition to the general fund budget and the capital improvement budget, this council also approves the CDBG budget. So
what's the timing on that, Mark, as far as if we wanted to submit a request?
For this year, it's already passed. The federal government budget doesn't follow anybody else's. It's actually an October 1st budget to September 30th. So it's not January 1st like most people. It's not even July 1st like the state budget. The feds have a completely different budget cycle for reasons that I'm sure somebody knows, but I don't. So that program, program year, we already have projects set for next year as part of that. So anything that the Historic Preservation Commission would want to do would be in the 16-17 budget year.
And that would be, when would we need to work on a proposal? Would that be like late?
Probably August.
August of
yeah.
this year?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So that would probably be an agenda item to consider.
We could certainly put that on the list for the August 10th, yes.
For discussion purposes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll add that to the agenda.
Thank you.
Our last item on old business is commissioner elections. Elections are up every June. We have, basically, their chairperson, the chair and vice chair for the our commission served 1 year, from June until June. And right now we have two positions open. I've served the last 3 years, so I enjoy being commissioner. I wouldn't mind being commissioner, but it's time to look for other candidates, and that will be open today. Also, Commissioner Vice Chairperson Johnny Ralph has resigned from the commission, so that position is also. So, what do we do now? Do we have people? Do we go by nominations? I don't remember if this is a long since.
Yes.
Or does anybody want to throw their hat in the ring?
Well, I'd like to. Put my hat in the ring to run for chairman.
And
the reason I'd like to do that is that I think we're in a very critical time in San Bernardino's history. We're going through the bankruptcy, we're going through all of these things that have occurred. And I think the previous chairmen have had longevity on the commission. I mean, like Chairman Mulvihill, for example, Nick has served for 7 years. I pretty much started with him. Susie Earp has been one of the original committee members, and I think that's the knowledge that we've gained over the years is very critical. So I would like to put my hat in the ring, and I'd be glad to answer any questions anybody would have concerning that. Nick and I are very close. I think that Nick would probably be an excellent choice to be the vice chair for that 1 year. Unfortunately, see, this year we have a difficult situation because Johnny's resigned, and normally she was all ready to move into that position, so we actually have two openings. But I think we probably should take those separately, and so I would appreciate the endorsement of the commissioners to do that for 2015-2016. Thank you.
Okay, other candidates or possibilities? Or talk to Sandra Olivas, and Sandra said she'd be interested in doing so. So I nominate Sandra Olivas.
pardon me. I've been on the commission for 3 years. I think I've proven myself. When I put my mind to something, I can get it done. Going back to the Mills Act a few years ago, I put everything I had into it, and we came out with quite a few new people. I know I haven't been on the commission as long as Commissioner Smith has, but I think I've learned a lot in the last 3 years, and I think that I would make a good chair.
Anyone else? And we have a small group here. So we have two nominees for chair, and we vote.
Correct.
How do we use ballots?
No, you just. I don't.
I remember one time we did way back when we used a secret ballot. Yeah, so we did.
Should you pass out ballots?
I think that's what it was. It was like little. When I remember, you know, when we first started, I remember we had a little piece of paper.
About that?
Yeah, I did. I don't.
That's no.
No,
it's
the
bubble. Before,
yeah, it's verbal.
Yeah.
Call.
Yeah.
The ballots aren't specific.
Well, right. Recommend.
Well, what do you like to do?
Well, they're typically open votes, but I guess I'll leave it up to the commission to decide whether they want to do ballots or whether they want to do open votes. It's the bylaws, as Lisa has correctly pointed out, are silent on the issue.
So we have, five votes here?
We have five votes.
But what is the wish of the chairman?
I think that
Silent vote. Here. You don't need to do that. You guys can just write a name on the back of the card.
Oh, that's good.
Here you go.
That makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. And then Lisa will collect them.
And I'll read them.
Yep.
Yes. We have one for Smith, two for Smith, one for Sandra, two for Sandra, and three for Sandra.
So
thank you.
Sandra is the chair.
And now we have for vice chair.
So I think Sandra would run the election for, sorry.
Next we have up for vice chair. I would like to nominate Nick. is vice chair. Would anybody else like to throw their name in? Or would anybody else like to nominate somebody else?
Smith, are you interested in vice chair?
Yeah. Are you interested in vice chair?
That's what she asked.
Would you be interested in vice chair? Vice chair.
Okay, so is there anybody else? Seeing nobody else, Nick, are you willing to take vice chair?
Yeah, I'll take vice chair. Just on the same meetings.
Sure. Thank you, Nick. All right, on to new business. We have the Mills Act, and that's the commission at large. So we have formed our subcommittee, and our subcommittee will get those members on board through Lisa emailing everybody. So let's have a conversation about the Mills Act. We know that till the end of June, we will be taking applications. The application process was gone through. The application costs $200. But let's not, we also need to understand too, Commissioner Bone, who is not here, also suggested that we really hit businesses. It's really, really important to hit businesses as well. So I think I'm on the same lines as Commissioner Smith. We're pretty much done because we haven't held a workshop this year. We haven't really worked on it like we should. So
this year is just a
wash.
Well, I do know that Councilwoman Marquez has somebody that she wants me to bring the information to on Friday. So, and I'll check to make sure that property is on the Donaldson report before they submit it and do the check thing, because getting your money back is a pain too. So,
right.
So I'll check those for you, make sure that's. So as far as I know, there's only one so far that is even a possibility, but I think it's pretty much a wash. And I think that maybe this needs to be continued until our August meeting, once we have the subcommittee in place. And then I think we can kind of send our subcommittee in a direction that we, you know, like we want the information, mm-hmm. you know, what information we're really looking for them to have, to bring forward.
Sounds good. So we need a motion for.
I would like a motion to continue this until August.
I move that we move this agenda item until August.
Do I hear a second? Thanks, Steve. So we'll move that on to August as well. Next on our agenda under new business is city-owned properties list.
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about this.
Thank you, Mark.
And then maybe Commissioner Cataldo can as well. At I believe it was the last meeting, there was a question about the agency-owned former redevelopment agency. There are 320 total parcels. Obviously, not all of them are here. Many of them are not owned by the successor agency, but they're actually owned by the housing authority. So a bulk of what the former redevelopment agency owned were residential properties, and those, the state, through the wind down process of redevelopment, treats housing assets separately from non-housing assets, and that's the way in state law they're categorized. So these are the list of non-housing assets that the what's now called the successor agency, and Jim Morris is the staff person who is under contract to work with the Department of Financing on the disposition of these properties. So under the overarching goal of the legislature when they ended redevelopment was to generate more money for the state general fund. So the state is pushing hard for redevelopment agencies, now called successor agencies, to sell the assets. We are in the process, it's a very complicated process, I should say, that the state created before you can sell redevelopment properties. Because the city, as a result of filing bankruptcy, didn't do its financial audits for 2 years, actually 3 years, we have been delayed in getting what's called our due diligence review. So that's one of the preconditions of selling the property. So you do a due diligence review, the state signs that off, then the state gives you what's called a finding of completion. A lot of this is a lot of mumbo jumbo, and it's really crazy the way the state set this up. But anyways, long story short, the agency will have to sell these properties or declare how they're going to be disposed of probably within the next 9 to 10 months. Some of these assets will be held for economic development purposes. Some of the properties will actually be sold. And that's a process that we're going through now. And that report gets adopted by the city council and then submitted to the state for their review. So these are the properties. What we have on here is a brief description, the street address, the assessor's parcel number, and then the overall acreage of the property. And you can see it's a pretty mixed bag of properties that the redevelopment agency owns. You know, City Hall, the baseball stadium, several parking lots, a number of vacant properties. And this list was put together at the request of Commissioner Cataldo. So if you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
I see that the California Theater. So on the top of this, is property to be retained for government use. Those ones aren't going to be sold, am I correct? Or those can be, it's on the first page?
Yeah, that property probably should have been, that heading should have been taken out.
Oh, okay. So these properties can be sold?
Yes, the state wants, again, the goal of the state is that the city get out of the property ownership business. Okay. Unless it's a true public facility, a city hall, a police station, a performing arts center, I would argue, and I think the state would probably agree, that the California Theater is one of those buildings that a public agency should own. But the state, unfortunately, hasn't been at all friendly to cities. I've seen some cities where they've said, no, a police station isn't a public facility. Mm-hmm. Well, is not. If a police station isn't a public facility, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
So it's been really difficult for cities to work with the Department of Finance through all of this. So I think that Commissioner Olivas, that heading probably isn't appropriate. Because while we think they're government use, the state may or may not agree with that. And we won't know until we actually submit our property management plan.
So the timeline is about 9 months?
Yes. So it goes through, like I say, Jim is leading that effort. Jim Morris is leading that effort. Bill Manis is part of that. I'm working on that, as well as Nita McKay, who's our deputy city manager for finance and administration. So that plan will be presented to the council probably in about 5 or 6 months. And when that is when it's in draft and presented to the public, we'll certainly make sure that you all get a link to that report so you can find the report online. And then that would go to the council. The council would have to vote on that, and then it gets submitted to the state.
Question number 18 under the Carousel Mall. Does the Harris Company building, is that a part of Carousel Mall or is that separate?
It is a separate, there are a couple of separate properties. The Harris building is a separate parcel. That's privately owned, as well as the Andreessen building. That's also under private ownership.
Is the JCPenney building, isn't that owned by the San Manuel Indians?
That's owned by San Manuel, yes. So yeah, that would actually not, if you actually looked at the assessor's parcel numbers that are listed in this column, the San Manuel property as well as the parking structure is also owned by the tribe.
And that property hasn't sold already, am I correct?
It has not. That is still owned by the successor agency.
Okay. Well, which one is that?
Carousel Mall.
Yeah, everything on this property list is currently owned by the successor agency.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Are there any further questions on this item? Mm-hmm. No? All right, let's move on to the next one. Memo on 3rd Street that was put on for new business from Commissioner Malmuth.
I can just give you a brief update. He's obviously not here to talk about it. He and I met 6 or 8 months ago, I don't remember exactly when, to talk about, he had done some record search and found some old rail line.
Right, you mentioned about a rail line.
Right.
Leading up to the old Norton Airport.
Correct.
San Bernardino Airport.
Correct. And he felt that my department needed to do more in terms of economic development and looking at how to reactivate that line. He's obviously not here to talk about it. The IVDA, Inland Valley Development Authority, is the owner of the property, and the IVDA, I'm sure everybody knows about the organization. They're a joint powers authority with the city of San Bernardino. I believe the city of Highland is a member of the JPA. So there is a JPA board. The mayor sits on the IVDA board, and they are the governmental entity, if you will, that's responsible for the development and redevelopment of what is everything outside the airstrip, and then the airstrip is separate. The runway is separate, and that's actually under federal jurisdiction. And there's also a joint powers authority that oversees the runway itself. So,
what is the significance of this item?
We put it on here because it was an item that Commissioner Malmuth had asked for, but I think it could probably be removed because he's right.
Yeah.
We didn't want to do that without bringing it forward to the commission.
Yeah.
It's no critical.
Okay, on to number 8, discussion of future agenda items.
So we have the Mills Act for August that Lisa has, I know.
Yes, CDBG funding is another
one. CDBG.
And then the East Civitas grants, the certified local governments, the ones that we all voted on?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wait until August, yes.
Are there any other items you guys, that anybody would like put on? Nothing else, okay. Mr. Pasico, do you have a director's report?
I do have a very brief director's report. I've got a couple of handouts. So just 3 quick items. The department quarterly puts out a newsletter as a way to, and the commissioners, I believe, have all seen the newsletter before. We do put this out on a quarterly basis as a way to get information out to the community. We started this in January, actually December, I think, of last year. And I didn't think about this till just now, but we could certainly use this as part of for next year for the Mills Act. Mm-hmm. It's loaded on the city's website. It also gets forwarded to all of the NAC presidents for distribution to their membership. So I wanted to make sure that you all had a copy of the quarterly newsletter. The second item is a monthly, what we call a major projects update. So it doesn't have everything on it, and some people have commented that really cell phone towers are major projects. Well, the reason that they're on here, I'll answer the question before you ask it, is while they're not major projects, they do generate a lot of discussion in the neighborhood. A lot of people are concerned about, you know, EMFs and those other issues. So we put those on here because they are of community interest, although they may not be major projects in that the typical sense. This gets updated the first of every month. Stephanie does a great job with that, and this also gets loaded on our website. So our department job is to push as much information out as we can. So that's what we try to do. And then thirdly, for Third Thursday, I won't ask for a show of hands who's been there, but I won't ask for a show of hands. I will put in a plug for this, something that we're very proud of. It's a big effort in the department, and I'm very proud of the fact that we've managed to do this in addition to all of the other things that we managed to do. But we've carved out a small niche market. I will say it's small, but we're getting about 2,000 people a month to show up.
2,000,
yes.
Mm-hmm. That's just on the third Thursday.
Third Thursday, yes. So we put a calendar on the back because people always say, when is it again, third Thursday? Well, so we, and this was actually a suggestion. Somebody came up and asked Lisa, like in December, so when's the next third Thursday event? And we said, we'll put a calendar on the back. So Stephanie did the graphics for this, and we've got our next one coming up on the 18th. So we now have 9 food trucks every month, and we try to bring in 2 or 3 new trucks every month. We try not to compete with what Sandy's doing at the farm share, and it's a lot of fun. So
compliments, I think. Maybe. Is it kind of compliments?
I think her vendors are quite happy every third Thursday. So anyways, that's it for my director's report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Have you, is there any thought about having twice a month, or I think third Thursday is?
We've had people want it weekly, everything.
But maybe third Thursday is rock the boat.
It's a large effort. It's more than you would think. Because it's getting the insurance lined up, it's talking to new vendors, it's making sure that they have county health permits. When they show up the day of, some of them don't have their fire extinguishers, and Lisa's brought more than one person up to our local fire extinguisher store to buy a $300 fire extinguisher. This is not the one you have in your kitchen, you need the big commercial one. So once a month is really about all we can do.
Could I ask a question? Is there any possible way, because like I work in Moreno Valley, there's no way I'm going to make it down here back to work between 11 and 2. Is there any possible way, stick to the third Thursday, but maybe run it from 11 to 2, shut it down, and then run it from like 5 to 7 in the evening?
You know, we've talked.
Keeping it that same day so that more people.
Right. Right.
Can access it?
Yeah, we've talked about that, and with our partners, we had a partners meeting a couple months ago to try to generate some ideas, and then also to bring in outside revenue, because this is costing us $3,500 a month,
roughly
to put
roughly.
On.
Mm-hmm. Not including staff time.
Yeah, not including staff time. So when we When I basically panhandled the partners, they all said no. Short answer.
So is there much money? Because you have to pay the vendors.
We don't pay the vendors, but so we rent porta potties. We have printing charges. Okay. We have. I can't even think.
I can tell you what we no longer. We no longer have tables and chairs rentals, park spot tables and chairs for community events. They allow us to borrow them. We do have to rent the porta potties and the hand washing stations. They have to be handicap accessible, and that's where the large bulk of the cost is.
Mm-hmm. Is there any money coming into the city for that?
They have to get their business license as they're doing business in the city, and that's where the city would.
And that's your one cost they don't pay monthly to come here?
No.
Yeah. With some of the larger, more successful food truck events, the event organizer does charge. There is an entry fee of anywhere from $250 to a percentage of their gross receipts. This was when it originally started in October of last year. The idea was this was part of the city's long-term economic development strategy to show potential retailers that there is a demand in downtown San Bernardino, because the thought was, and still largely is, that there's no money to be made here. You know, why would I open a store in downtown San Bernardino? Because nobody's going to come. So this was an idea that the city manager and I kind of came up with to say, hey, let's put some city resources into this as a way to show that there is interest in downtown San Bernardino. Last month we did our first raffle, so we're starting to, you know, this is every freebie, right? There's a hook to it. So in order to enter the raffle, you have to give us your business card. So we're now starting to track where the customers are coming from.
Oh, that's good.
And this was one of the ideas that came out of the meeting with the partners is, hey, if you could do this, you could. So we give them a $12 coupon for the next month. Mm-hmm. So we got, 90 cards maybe mm-hmm. from people?
Yeah.
Good.
So we're now starting to be able to track where people are coming from. And what I've seen, and all of Lisa and Stephanie and I have seen, is there's now starting to be more, not just government employees that are coming, but we're reaching into the community. And that's one of the other goals of this, is to get people who live and work in the community. And I know you don't, Dee, unfortunately, work daytime in the community, so you can't get here. But we are starting to now see more people from the broader community. So we're starting to achieve some of those goals. And we had hoped to grow this into a larger event. I think, to be honest with you, we're probably a year away from being able to do that. Because what the partner said is, when I threw out a number, they said, you know, a couple of them said we would make a donation just as a gift because we care about the city, but they don't see any return to their bottom line of their business. So we need to build a better business case for why people should donate to this, become true partners, because right now they're partners in name only. They're not the businesses that are listed on the bottom of here haven't contributed a dime to this event. But we did that as a way to show that this was a larger event. So they said, yeah, sure, we'll give you our logo. And that was their contribution, really. But it worked. I mean, it's been a struggle to cobble this all together, but it worked. And it, you know, we can now say we have partners. They're not paying anything, but the general public doesn't know that.
One of the great things that you're getting people downtown.
Yes.
During the day, it's not yes. night, but you're getting people downtown.
Right. We're starting.
And hopefully somebody with a business sense or whatever may think, right. Maybe I could.
Right.
Open a restaurant or something.
I can turn this into a bricks and mortar store.
I don't know if you have anybody. You know,
one of Sandy's vendors was talking about doing that, and he's still talking about it, but he's now going to open a food truck first.
he knows that works.
He knows that works.
And he's still going to pay me.
Yeah. So we do want to grow this into something larger, because we know that right now it's a fairly limited audience, and we want to do some sort of night/weekend event, but it's a year away.
Because I know where I come from, back in Albany, they used to do downtown like on Thursday nights,
right.
It wasn't a Friday night, but on Thursday
right.
nights, they would, when people got out of work,
yeah.
they had food trucks and vendors
right.
down there, but they also promoted bands down there,
yeah.
and they had concerts down there, and I noticed that after 5 o'clock, even on the weekends, you know, after five, there
right.
is nothing, not even
right.
streetlights on downtown.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You need
it's
to,
true. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like dead.
Right.
And if there's some possible way, I don't know, community organizations, volunteers, school bands,
yeah.
it's something
right.
to bring people downtown.
Yeah. Yeah. We have,
hours and
right.
hours.
We have gotten the Richardson High Band was here three, 4 months ago. They were fantastic. Junior high, there were these two women, girls singing, you know, 13, 14-year-old girls that were just amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing singers. Then we had San Bernardino, or San G, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
San G High was here. They had their mariachi band, they had their jazz band, and then they had their orchestra.
Uh-huh.
And then last month, the Cal State Orchestra was here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're starting to, we really do want to grow this into something, but I think for the at least the next 12 months, it's just
baby steps.
The reality, yeah, it's
you
baby steps.
You gotta walk before you run.
Yeah,
I get
yeah.
it.
So,
how's that Tuesday? You have the Coffee Tuesday or something?
Yeah,
Cafe Tuesday.
Cafe Tuesday.
It's early in the morning for me.
and frankly, even the vendor. So we did Lisa and Stephanie did a Survey Monkey for city employees. Hey, what do you want? And everybody said we'd want a coffee truck here.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we, one of our vendors, Mocha Lotive, has agreed to come on Tuesday. He's not making a lot of sales.
No.
So I think he may not be here for long.
Could I suggest something with regards to that coffee truck? I know going through Police Academy that they do coffee with a cop.
Right.
At a couple of different restaurants in the area. Maybe that if you were to approach them about the coffee truck situation or event, maybe they could do coffee with a cop at the coffee truck.
Oh,
in Court Street Square. Open
yeah.
up the
yeah,
square.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a great
yeah.
idea.
Yeah.
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 I can talk to Lieutenant Lawhead
okay.
and see if he's, because I think he runs the program. He runs the whole coffee with a cop program for the PD.
He actually has half of the city, and Lieutenant Travis Walker has the
other. Oh, okay.
So they split it up.
Okay. Yeah, that's a
so that
great.
That might be
sure.
possible to get it going.
Right.
So where's the city council involved in this? Are you reporting back to them?
Yes. Well, the council gave us the budget to do this.
So you have the budget. Okay.
We've got the budget, and they authorized it last August to run October to October.
Okay. And you're making to them quarterly?
Well, they get the monthly numbers. I don't do a verbal report at the council meeting. That's probably a good idea for me to do that. As part of next year's budget, we're going to move the program's in the city manager department. We're going to move it to the community, to my department, community development. But yeah, doing some sort of quarterly report. I actually do need to re-up the special event permit in September, so there would be kind of an annual closeout and then a request that they approve it, you know, October to October of 16. So, yeah. We're very proud of our little baby, but it's got a long way to grow. It's got a long way to grow.
Thank you.
Well, it's my understanding there's not a market night now.
The patrons of the Roosevelt Bowl decided not to do a market at Parasol Park. The last 2 months of the market, the patrons lost $3,000, and we couldn't get vendors out there. We didn't have community support, so they decided to close down Paris Hills Market Night. But we will be out. For Junior University, we'll be out there on the 17th, the 21st, and 28th, and then of course we'll do special events out there like Winter Wonderland.
That was really fun.
Masico
was
Symphony, of course, we did that as well with the city, but the patrons decided to not run it out there for another year, but now we have the downtown market.
Yeah. And you mentioned about maybe the north end of San Bernardino, you know,
mm-hmm.
In the north end of San Bernardino.
There's conversation about opening other markets throughout the city, yes.
And when you say downtown San Bernardino, that's a...
Yeah, Court Street Square. We're there every Thursday. And then when Mark comes and hangs out with us once a month, I mean, I don't...
Oh, I'm there every Thursday. Come on, Sandy.
Yeah, you are. He's there every Thursday. His truck's only come every third Thursday.
How many people do you say you get?
Yes. On third Thursdays?
No.
Well, I can tell you that.
First, second, and fourth Thursday.
The fourth Thursday is really not that busy, which my vendors are kind of glad of that after we've hit with 2,000.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, like the first set, we maybe have 100, 200, but the thing of it, maybe. Okay, that's unbelievable.
Okay.
But the thing of it is that the vendors, we know that we have to be there to build it.
Yep.
And so my vendors are pretty, really, actually very good. There's some of them that have been with me since last July. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Okay, is there any other things from the director's office?
Just a question on the project major list.
Yes.
After the application is submitted and the building permit status, where does it go from there? I guess what I'm looking for is, when does a business open, or they have the authority to open?
Right.
After they've gone through this process.
Well, I will take, if you look down at Popeye's restaurant, about mm-hmm. the middle of the first page, CP12-06.
Yes.
So the Planning Commission approved that project in June of 2012, almost 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then construction can be a long-term process. Mm-hmm. So that one has what's called a temporary certificate of occupancy, which means that they didn't fulfill all of their conditions before they opened. They met what's called the fire life safety, which means the building is safe for people to go in and for them to occupy and for them to do business. But maybe they're missing their landscaping, or they're missing something that's aesthetic and something that still needs to be done, but it's not putting anybody's life in jeopardy. So they can take a while, really, depending upon how organized the development team is. Mm-hmm. The Loma Linda medical facility down on G Street, which is on this list because it's under construction.
Right here.
First page.
Mm-hmm. How come I can't
fourth
see
from
it?
The top. Fourth from the top. Fourth from the bottom.
Oh, from the bottom. Okay. So the Loma Linda building, that was submitted. The application was submitted in June of 14. It got Planning Commission approval in September of 14, and they were under construction in, you know, less than four months. So, because Loma Linda is, you know, a very well-run organization, and they hired the best design team, the best engineers, the best architect, they were ready to go. In that construction project, if anybody has seen it down on G Street, it's amazing how quickly that building's coming out of the ground because they know what they're doing. So to answer your question, it varies from less than a year to over 3 years.
And some might be open and some might not.
Correct. Correct.
We're talking about downtown. The Transit Center is going to officially open on August 25th.
Right.
So I think that's an important date to have.
Yeah.
Downtown revitalization.
Yeah, I didn't know that they had. I knew they were targeting late August, early September, but I didn't know their official. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if she told you, then she knows it.
Well, she gave a presentation last week.
So. Okay.
And that's with MetroLink, right?
That's MetroLink. It's going to bring in MetroLink.
Well, but MetroLink's about a year behind that.
Right away. It's going to come later on, another year.
Right.
And then they're working on the road to rail to Redlands, which
right.
will probably be 2019, 2020.
Right.
But it's going to be a tremendous.
Right. So when the transit center opens, there will be 13 local and regional bus lines that Omnitrans runs that will all pass through the transit facility.
SBX.
Yeah. So you'll have the 13 local and regional bus lines. SBX is running north-south on E Street. And then, as Commissioner Smith mentioned, a year from now, what's called the first mile, which is the first mile from the historic train station to the new train station, that will open about September of 16. And then the route all the way to Redlands will open in 17 or 18.
So would there be, is there a building there now? Or are they constructing a building?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really a beautiful building.
It's on E Street, so drive by there.
It's a gorgeous building, and they've got a beautiful piece of public art. There's a 70-foot tall sundial that was
really
installed.
It really adds to
it does.
Street.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
And in on a high note, I drove over this morning, and I went to Highland Avenue and is it Waterman? I think it's Waterman. Anyway, on the southwest corner, there's a new subway being built.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Subway.
Where the old flower shop was.
Where the old flower
yeah.
shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. City on the move.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of construction that's actually going on.
Yes.
When you drive around and take a look at it. The building that's coming up on Southeast Street, I'm not sure what that is.
Volleyball facility.
Volleyball.
Indoor volleyball, yes.
That's
Ian McKay.
And then it's industrial and Palm Avenue. They've kind of decimated this poor little mountain that used to be there. And I guess I assume it's industrial.
It's the first project on the list.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That was submitted. Yeah. So talk about to your question, uh-huh. Commissioner Hill. Yeah. This was approved by the Planning Commission in 2011. And they didn't start grading until 3 years later. And that is about, as Commissioner Cataldo said, that's about a year grading operation.
Yeah.
It's a very large earth moving operation.
Wow, they really are.
And then construction will be about a year beyond that.
Do you know what's going to be there?
No. It's
wow. That's a huge.
Some sort of fulfillment center.
I hate seeing that hill. Yeah.
Is everybody ready to go home? Can I have a motion to adjourn, please, till August 10th, 2015 at 5:30 p.m.
Okay, you're making a motion? Okay, I second.
Thank you. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.